Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's comic book club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Dowling!
What's going on? Welcome to Comic Book Club, everybody. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And I am Pete.
And over there is our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man!
Yeah.
Booth Man fan base.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're here?
Yes. You guys are here for Booth Man Club, right? Very cool.
That's
good to
too
see
strong.
You guys.
That makes me nervous, actually.
He's a supervillain, guys. He's not on our side. He's against us. So don't be here for him.
There you go. Thank you guys so much for coming out. This is, of course, the only live comic book talk show ever.
Of course, this is.
But in case you guys don't know how this works, we get a suggestion from you guys at the start of the show, and then for an hour we ignore that suggestion and just talk about comic books.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Wow, that's
that was
ingenious.
A little improv joke for you guys.
Yeah, it went over really well.
Sweet.
Yeah, obviously.
That's good. The rest of the show is scripted.
Yeah. That was improvised. It's also improvised. The paint job here is kind of made up every night.
You guys like the smell of plaster, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, enough of this hilarious banter. Let's get
plaster, right, guys?
I'm very excited about the guests we have tonight. They are both from Zuta Comics, which is DC's webcomic initiative. They're going to talk a little bit more about it. Ladies and gentlemen, David Gallagher and Steve Ellis. Yeah. So much for coming on the show.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It means a lot to Alex that you're here.
Yeah, just on a personal level.
Hey! Party people!
Watch your mouths, boys.
We baby-safe the entire theater today.
Baby-safe?
So. Yeah.
Is that the word?
No. That's good.
Okay.
I think everyone thought you were saying babysit.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Possibly. Let's get to the show. So you guys, right now, just to start off, let's talk a little bit about what Zuta Comics is for the people who don't know.
Zuta Comics is a DC Comics web comic initiative. It is a chance for readers to actually become editors and have editorial input into the comics they would like to see, both on print and maybe eventually down the line, rather on the web and eventually down the line maybe in print. So, it's sort of like a battle royale where 10 comics every month enter and only one comic leaves. So,
wow.
I know, it's
terrible.
Yeah. Do they kill the losers?
No, actually the losers get to do whatever they want with the comics, so they can take them to other webcomic sites such as Drunk Duck or Activate.
And so they're like, hey, we sucked on Zuta, but check us out at other places.
He's not into PR, he's not a big PR guy.
But it's a really nice chance for readers to have an input. They can share the comics, vote on them, favorite them. Like, oh, I really like this comic, and I like this comic too.
It's a good way to get started in the comic book biz, basically.
For you guys,
it's a good way to when you're doing stuff in your studio all day. You're sitting there before your drawing table, and you do this work, and you're sitting there for 3 or 4 days working on a couple pages, and you send it off to your editor, and he says, whatever. That's the usual way, and you never hear anything for like 3 months, and then you get the nasty things on the board saying, why do you draw that guy's hand over here?
And this
here, it's like immediate feedback.
Stuff.
It's like
you can hear that you suck all the time.
Yeah, or it's a really exciting. You're kind of in this state where you put it out there, and especially when during the contest, and there's a certain amount of our numbers are going up. Are we is it real? Is it fake? It was really exciting. Building up this whole pressure of seeing your book go up. Are people gonna? Is one going to come from behind at the end, the Dark Horse or whatever? Yeah, so it's
well, let's, that's actually a pretty good segue into your book, High Moon, that you have on Zuta. Tell us a little bit about...
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Justin and I disagree.
I thought my silence spoke volumes.
What,
I'm just kidding.
Tell us how you started that book. Tell us how you got involved in Zuda, all that good stuff.
The genesis for High Moon is long and complicated, but I'll try to give you the shortened version.
We have like an hour.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Just for this part. I need like an hour and 10 minutes. But basically, I grew up loving horror and grew up in a small Civil War town in the bum skirts of Maryland. And I was always interested in...
He's from the 19th century. Oh, okay. He was like, Civil War, did you fight in it? He
had a lot of questions. In fact, I did fight in it.
See the hat? That's a southern hat.
Northern hat.
Yeah. I didn't know that was
you. Basically, I always wanted to do, when I was younger, I always wanted to do a book about vampires and werewolves in the Civil War, and that eventually the idea sort of...
it's very specific. It's very specific.
It's a great dream, and you're living it, obviously.
Yeah, and then eventually High Moon sort of came out of that. I was more interested in exploring the death of the frontier, and so I thought our central theme of High Moon is an unchanging man in a changing time. So here's a guy who's a really stubborn son of a gun who doesn't really want to change as the world is moving from the Gilded Age to the Industrial Age.
Wow. That's a nice, it's like a thesis.
Cool.
So you guys submitted it to Zuda.
Well,
do you want me to take it from here?
Oh, yeah, you go ahead.
From what I understand, because I wasn't at the immediate genesis of the idea.
You didn't grow up in the Civil War town.
Right, I didn't grow up in the Civil War town. But I was down for the New York Comic Con. And I had actually, set up a table and everything like that. And I was, funnily enough, working on a horror set in the
Industrial Revolution.
No, not the Industrial Revolution. Now I'm totally talking about
the War of 1812.
No, in the 1890s, Sierra Nevada's kind of people going west, kind of to get gold, kind of thing. It was like a zombie horror thing. And so David came over to me, and we're just talking, and he's telling me, "Oh, I have this thing, this horror thing I'm working on," and we start trading stories, and which is a lot of fun because we bouncing back ideas and whatever. And he mentions, "Well, I've got this project, if you want to work on it with me." And so for me, it was like it fit so many different things that I liked because I love Sergio Leone old westerns. I love the those, and then on top of it, I used to do artwork of werewolves and monsters since I was like a little kid. Things ripping heads off is just like
I used to draw airplanes.
It was the greatest thing. And it was funny though, all the superhero stuff you do, all the superhero stuff never let anybody rip their heads off and stuff. So that was like kind of the death, guts, blood, all that stuff that I always wanted to do. And so David's saying, "Hey, let's do a horror thing." I'm like, "Oh, that sounds like right up my alley, werewolves, monsters, all that kind of stuff." But then also what I liked about it was it's set in a very naturalistic world. There's a lot of historical reference. There's a lot of it's a very meaty real world. And when you're working on it, you have to actually do research on the clothing people are wearing or on little details in the background that are sitting on a shelf behind the character. It's exciting because you're like, wow, okay, that actually means something. It's not just so there's all these different layers to the project that I really liked when David brought it to me.
Abraham Lincoln was a werewolf.
Right. Well, yes. Yeah. That's why
you're
so tall.
Isn't that just understood?
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, here's
his
a great
tall hat was hiding his fangs.
Yeah. Wow.
Werewolves have anatomy you wouldn't even get.
But when I was approached by the Zuda editor, Kwanzaa Johnson, and he had asked me to pitch several stories, and one of which was High Moon. And I had already attached Steve to the project, and this was even before Zuda had a name. I had met with Kwanzaa back in like April of last year, and he was like, "This is great." Eventually, we got put into the first round of Zuda Thunderdrome battle contestants.
Nice.
Cool. And you guys won.
You dominated. I got a quick question. There's a guy called Kwanzaa Johnson.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Kwanzaa Johnson. He is actually a really smart ninja-like editor. And
he wears great hats.
Yeah.
He does wear great hats, actually.
We got to get
my
character
is Hanukkah Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And we're done.
That's
in my head. It's going out of my head.
I want to get Quanta Johnson on the show.
Okay.
Cool. All right, we'll book that.
He can talk so about his name.
Not a great story.
You know, he probably thinks your name is ridiculous.
I hope so.
Okay, we're going to move on. you guys won it, and it's up there right now. You guys you put up 4 pages tonight, actually, right?
We did.
Right before the show.
You guys wrote and put up 4 pages. Wow.
Yeah,
that's right.
He called me at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I sat down, drew, painted and everything, and sent it back to him. He sent it to the letterer, and by, what, 6, was it?
Yeah, by, like, 6 issues.
That's great. That's great. That's pretty good, I mean.
Yeah.
You know.
It's all right. We should use that schedule more often. Whole books should be done already.
And when you have a sort of a set length for it, right? It's about 60 pages?
Yeah, we've got we have the 8 screens that we had as part of the contest. And then winning the Zuda contract gave us an additional 52 screens to do. And yeah, so 60 screens total for this this initial story.
Awesome. Now, how many screens is a page? Like, what's the...
Well,
do you have to do it on 50 different computers?
Yeah. Thank you for translating that for me. Yeah.
That's not a real question.
Yeah.
Essentially, a screen is in comic book, at least the way we do it, and you could probably divide it up any way you want. But the way we've approached it is that a screen in Zuda is a comic book page. I think I've seen people actually split it into 2 separate pages. But you know, we're you know, it's really nice because this is a nice segue into the format. Is the format's widescreen?
Yeah, I really like that about the website. You know, sometimes when you're reading comics online, it's like enhance, and then it's like
you're scrolling.
Yeah, a lot of scrolling and fucking mousing around. And you're like,
that's what's so exciting.
Mouse and shit.
The other thing was exciting about too is that when I was drawing it, and you know, you're like, wow, Western. You always think of like Clint Eastwood staring off into the distance, and you see like the planes going off. And you know, and the greatest thing is for a comic book artist is a long panel to do a pan, or a pan like thing. It's like it's almost like you get that chance to have him, you really get that sense of loneliness that the West has. So it really, for me, fit perfectly the scale and the shape of the panels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we treat it like a page, but a different kind of page.
And the eventual goal is to get it printed, or is it just online, see wherever it goes?
The Zuda contract has a lot of really cool... really cool...
clauses?
Awesome.
Radical clauses, bro!
Extreme clauses, it's fine. Basically, we put together the comic. We have an editor, Quanza Johnson, and
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
And we have we have a lot more resources than you would have. We have the resources of Zuda and DC Comics to really sort of help promote our book. And I think those are the kind of resources that many webcomic creators just don't have just don't have today. I mean, High Moon ads have appeared in Pick Magazine, on the back of CSN,
in all the DC comics,
every single DC comic. So I mean, that kind of exposure and notoriety is fantastic. And print is, certainly an option, as are other merchandising options or multimedia things. But right now, our main focus is just putting out the book. And we'd love to see it in print, and we'd love to have it on, our bookshelves with a like little name and spine and stuff. But for now, I think the concentration is just to do the best job we can do on the web.
And before we move on with our next section, you can check it out at Zuda.com. What other books, we were talking about this a little bit last week, that you're totally into checking out every time a new Zuda strip, or whatever you want to call it, pages, or published.
Screen.
Computer screen.
What other ones would you recommend guys check out other than Hunt?
Ooh, well, the Competish.
Well, not really, they've already won.
Former Competish.
Definitely buy it.
Absolutely, by his fantastic Jeremy Love just does an amazing.
He was kind of Schumann.
Yeah.
Then there was I'm blanking on the name of the Frankenstein.
Oh yeah, Frankenstein.
It was really nice use of the space. Really, the artwork.
I'm very partial to I love monsters, and I love detective stories. So I'm also really partial to The Night Owls by the Timoney Brothers. It's just a spectacular strip that takes place in the 1920s. It was really funny for a while. Zuda had this whole historical supernatural element. So Bayou is a supernatural story that takes place in the early 20th century. Night Owls takes place in the 1920s, and High Moon takes place in the 1890s.
Wow.
And so it was like, wow, monsters and history. This is the best lesson ever. Abraham Lincoln was a werewolf. Yes.
I would have learned more in school if they really pushed the monsters out.
yeah, totally. Yeah. The Boxer Rebellion really lights up when it's like
when it's all bubbies.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on to our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Woo!
First issue we are going to talk about today is Amazing Spider-Man 553.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man! Great comic!
Uses the same sarcastic thing every time.
Here's the ridiculous thing about you doing that sarcastic thing is you also buy it every week.
Yeah.
And you read it every week.
I don't know if you know this, but we have a comic book show that we do. So I need to read comics.
Yes, when is it?
What is it?
Tuesday on Tuesdays.
What time? No, really.
Well, what specifically don't you like about this book, Pete?
I don't...
this book.
Yeah,
this book right here that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It would be very topical. I don't like... I don't like
topical.
Peter now, the new Peter Parker, the younger, hipper, hey, I've improved my web shooters and made them thicker. Oh, it's jamming. Oh, I didn't see that coming, fucking scientist. Oh, I made a thicker web. Oh, it jammed. Oh, I should have thought about how small the hole is that's got to shoot out of. Are you kidding me? I don't like the fact that JJ isn't running the Bugle. I think it's hilarious that they have to put notes on the first page of like, hey, I'm sorry my comic sucks right now, but we're really working on it and pull it out of the garbage.
That's
There is, though. There's a post-it note on the first page.
It's a wrap-up of what's going on.
It point. Also says, hey, we're sorry for sucking.
You
read between the lines.
All that on a post-it.
Yeah.
Are you guys reading Amazing Spider-Man right now?
I, you know, here's the thing about Spider-Man. Can you give my shot?
That's right. We had this conversation.
I love spiders. And human beings are...
Love men.
I try not to say that part. Men are handsome devils. I'm a handsome devil.
So you're fully on board with this book.
Is it the amazing part you don't like?
Yeah. No, the amazing part is awesome. If they called the book Amazing Spider-Man and anybody but Peter Parker were Spider-Man, that would be... I would buy that book immediately.
You hate Peter Parker?
I can't stand the guy.
Why?
He's kind of the Woody Allen of...
He really is.
Yes.
Why?
I don't quite get
he married his daughter.
Woody Allen always has a beautiful wife in whatever movie he's in. He's always complaining about everything. You know, David's made this point.
Peter
really
Parker.
His point,
okay, sure. let's compare for a second. Peter Parker
loves Manhattan.
Yeah, Daredevil is blind, has had his
been
blown up, has been disbarred, has had his girlfriends murdered. Peter Parker, like, oh, I can't get a job. Like, lift yourself up by your bootstraps and man up!
That's physically impossible.
Wow.
One bootstrap at a time, my friend. One bootstrap at a time. I'm just saying that Peter Parker's not blind. He doesn't have to deal with any of the problems Daredevil has to, and yet he's whining all the time.
He grew up in Queens.
Yeah.
I grew up in New Jersey. So I'm just saying.
If there's something to complain about.
That being said.
That's the first time I've heard him compared to Woody Allen. Pretty funny.
What do you think? You do like this particular issue, right?
It's not bad. I don't know. I don't like Bob Gale's writing really, it's very yes. very old. It's kind of antiquated in a way. This book especially has been written lately. But I think, like, it's hard to, like, for a comic book reader to be, like, really identify with a blind guy. So maybe that's why he complains about not having a job more. You know what I mean? Like, to say that it's like, yeah, it sucks that he's whining about that, but that's the stuff that people, you know, every day will whine about. So I think that's why it's,
Well, he deals with the stuff that everybody deals with. You know, dealing with mutants.
In rhino suits.
My poor Aunt May. I'm telling you. Yeah. Right here, buddy.
In any case, this is not, I will say, this is not the absolute best issue of Random Day Art, but it's much better than you think it is. I would recommend at least giving it a shot.
That's directed to you specifically.
I don't have to. He's already buying it. He's already buying it.
If I show up and haven't read it, you guys, oh, you haven't read the comic? We do a comic show.
No, what we
how
say
do you not read the comics?
Is that what I say sound is,
Pete,
it's a combination
Pete,
of both.
What I say is, oh my god, I'm so sorry you haven't read it. Would you like to borrow my comic?
Yeah, and can I get your dry cleaning?
I just dry cleaned. Wonder Woman number 18.
Yes.
Correct.
Correct.
It is.
Yes.
What do you guys think about this issue?
Great. Hi-o, is that true? It's great. Wonder Woman has a boyfriend, which is darling.
Hey, you love this stuff. Huh?
It's a really cool story. As opposed to, I feel like they're always trying to hook Wonder Woman up with some random guy. And in this, it's like a more real way in the Amazonian characterization to have her do that.
Right.
She's like, here's a thorny bracelet you have to wear. That's the way I roll.
It's a good issue. I think Gail Simone is doing a good job on the title. You disagree, though.
I don't entirely disagree. I think Wonder Woman's boyfriend reminds me of Jim from The Office.
He's in the zeitgeist.
If Jim from The Office could change shape.
Yeah.
Which he does.
Well, you're saying you don't like that because you don't like The Office, or?
No, I'm just saying, I think that that's an overused archetype. Just like Chuck and all those.
A good looking young man.
Well, Peter Parker.
It all circles that back to Parker.
What I really enjoyed was they introduced the whole Wonder Woman may or may not have a boyfriend or may like a guy or whatever, and we didn't spend the whole issue on it. It was like first couple of pages. Then got to the action, which I was like, okay, good. This part's for Justin, and I can enjoy this part.
I think that pretty much sums it up. If you're Justin or you're Pete, you will like this issue.
I think only half.
Never
happens.
I like the ads, so you're pretty much all right, let's move on to talk about Green Arrow, Black Canary.
Yeah! Great book.
Correct. I love this one.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Who's man? You fall asleep back there?
What's going on? Did we skip something?
We're good. No, we're good. Forward, boy.
No, we're not.
There it is, Booth.
Okay.
it's a little
fluster with a fan.
Somebody messed up my pile.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Pew!
That was me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's talk about this. It's really important. Let's stop the show and figure out what order my pile was supposed to be.
It's called a stack, first off.
I'm doing a show where it's called a pile.
And now the pile!
We're taking it down a notch.
Yes. This is a great book.
This is a show called Comic Book Dudes.
What? Yeah, we're going to get a little more casual about the show.
Yeah, whatever, dudes.
I'm going to take my pants off.
What do you
Please keep them on.
How will that be different than any other week?
I'm going to do it earlier. Until we're backstage. And we'll go to the after party.
Oh, boy.
Just the two of us.
What?
Yeah.
The three of us.
Anyways.
I just forget to be
mentioned. I really love, at first when I heard about this team up, I was like, great, two people I really don't care
marriage.
About.
Marriage, it's a marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you call your impending marriage a team up?
Yes, I would.
Wow, the brave and the bold, I guess. Yeah.
Which is he?
Look at him.
Oh, and then after the wedding
she's
night.
She's definitely the brave.
After the wedding night, it's going to be a Marvel 2-in-1.
No! Oh!
titled "Isn't the Other Side." Great.
You're welcome. All right, so Greedo Black and Harry, we were talking about. You like this because you weren't expecting to like the team up, but you do.
Yeah, and I think it's done really well. It's written fantastic. Like every issue, I can't wait for it to come out. It's just, it continues to surprise. You know, I mean, you don't see it coming. You don't know what you.
Especially
you
know. Judd Winnick is kind of a hit or miss guy, and this he's been doing this and Trials of Shazam have been both great. And
knocking out of the park.
Yeah, not, it's surprising to me.
Once again, I believe you disagree with that.
I like Cliff Chang's art. I think it's
The art is fantastic. The thick great. Lines. And
I like the art a lot. I just think it's personally a little melodramatic for my taste.
Okay. I can, that's respectable.
No, yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of these things for me are, I mean, they're totally Socratic, I guess is the word.
Ooh, wow.
Soap operatic.
Soap operatic?
Yeah. Socratic.
So they're totally Socratic.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Totally Socratic. I can see that. But I think it's the story. I don't know. I'm surprised by that. Maybe it's the art plays the emotions well.
I think the art does a fantastic job conveying the emotion and stuff like that. But it's just a little too. I mean, serial comics are supposed to be, have those melodramatic moments, certainly. But I feel like every issue to have that, whoa, something bad happened here.
I think part of that comes from the fact that it's Green Arrow and Black Canary, a title that nobody would care about if big things weren't happening every single issue.
And that's probably very legitimate.
Yeah. In fact, this issue is starting to develop into a more regular arc, and it seems like it's slowing down a lot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. That being said, there's a big reveal on the last page that's totally ridiculous. I don't know. I'm going to say, at the very least, pick it up for the art, because that's fun. Going back one slide, Mighty Avengers.
Pew!
Right on. Bootman was on. We didn't even need to say that.
Yeah, it's for everybody.
This is just go back one slide in your head. let's definitely stay on this point. It's a big one. Mighty Avengers number 10. This is another interestingly drawn book, kind of trying to make it look like an old school comic.
Old timey comic.
Just say all the Ben Day dots.
They have all the dots at the bottom of each of the pages. Do they still have that?
Oh, yeah, they had the weird color headers down at the bottom. Like, remember back in the 70s?
So totally geeking out about it.
So is this the idea is to bring us back to the idea that Sentry was a character in the Marvel Universe when he really wasn't?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Additionally, but it takes place in the 1970s.
Yeah, I just have a problem with that because he's so not a Marvel character.
Right.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't. I mean, like the theme of the Marvel. I don't know. I guess being a Jack Kirby fan, the theme of the Marvel Universe had a very different feel than the DC Universe. And when you introduce a character like Sentry, who is
all powerful,
very Superman-like. I mean, albeit he does have flaws, whatever. But
he's crazy.
The idea is that, the sense of all the characters is, even if you were Thor and you were the God of Thunder, you still had to be that lowly, lame guy who walked around with a stick. You had to be Donovan Blake. And there was a certain amount of, humanity to all the characters. And, they're doing it. I was reading some of the Avengers a while ago, and they had him in the jail at one point. And it was they're building him up as a character. But I still kind of squirrely about a Marvel character in a cape and the there's a certain change in the style and the feel.
Well, it's hard to it's rare to find a writer that will write the Sentry well besides Paul Jenkins, who created the character and did such a great job with it. And because it's an all powerful character, so he shows up and you're like, how can he not save the day right now? Because I need to have some other stuff happen. And then you can shoot.
Well, it's like in World War Hulk, where he spent 5 issues being agoraphobic and inside.
Yeah.
And then the 6th issue is like, all right, I'll go outside.
Yeah. And so he's kind of a bitchy little, he's like, I'm crazy for the next 2 issues, and then I'm going to do something.
But to some degree, that's the beauty of a character like Captain America. Because Captain America is the normal guy. I mean, yes, he had the super secret soldier serum. Did I add something in there?
That's
cool. But he was still like, a normal guy shot by bullets dead, and he was out there fighting all these, interminable odds, but that was kind of the feel of Marvel when I was growing up. So, long before I was growing up. So, the idea that this guy comes down, he's kind of this, godlike being seems uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely agree with that, and also what Justin said. I think he works better as a character that is in isolated miniseries more than anything else.
Yeah.
Most of the Century miniseries that...
The 12-issue Paul Jenkins was so great.
Both of
them.
The original one
and
the follow-up one.
Yeah.
I love both of them. They're both excellent. In Mighty Avengers, I mean, it makes sense for the title because they're supposed to be sort of the all-powerful Avengers team, but it's also been coming out so slowly, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, they're at issue 10, but they should have been issue 15 at least by this point. So, anyway, that was sad. All right, let's move on and talk about Walking Dead number 47.
Speaking of sad, wow.
Yeah.
This
it's
is
crazy.
Great because they only, we talked about this the last time an issue came out, that the past three issues, the general, the big evil guy in the series now, has been coming towards the jail where heroes are staying and then leaving. And then the next issue, he comes towards the jail and he leaves. This issue...
Well, he's
only,
not like...
Wait, hold on.
This issue was really cool. Because he only went like 20 feet away from the jail, but then he came through the jail, and then he's probably going to leave the jail next issue. But it's great. It's really progress.
A lot of... I agree with Snipe. The last maybe seven issues of this have been kind of like, come on, what are you doing?
Screw you, man.
Whoa!
Yeah, come on. No, this has been fantastic. This is just such a great comic. I love it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but the whole thing with the...
It's not like he showed up and goes, you know what, I forgot cookies. I'm going to come back, and then we'll come back.
That would make,
okay, here's
that would make more sense.
Here's my problem. Right now, the way Kirkman has been writing the general and his forces, they are the underdogs.
Yes.
They are so outpowered, they are so down and out, there is no way they can stop the good guys in the jail. So that when the general finally was like, all right, I have a tank, I'm going to crash through your wire fence, I was like, yeah! Do it! Kill them! Which is not how I should be feeling.
What's that about?
Because he finally did something. He's the underdog. They're throwing grenades at him. They're killing all of his guys.
He's bad guy. You don't want him to win.
Clearly I do.
Well, you need to worsen stuff out. Don't put that on the comic. That's not the comic's fault.
No,
that's,
but
you're going through something.
His point is, the general has become the most interesting character because he has something going on. He has stakes. When like all the jail guys, they're like, oh, everything's been so great lately. Everything's all right. All these zombies aren't threatening us. And then they're like, oh, I hope nothing bad happens. And then the general's like, here I am. Something bad's going to happen. And then it kind of, they screw around for three more issues, and finally something happens. Then the general...
You're not convincing me of anything.
It's just been a really like boring lead-up to this. And finally, this issue is starting to break open in a little bit. Because the whole series has been about these characters, like, trying to make it, and you're like, ah, the surprises of the first 27 issues or 46 issues, they were great.
Yeah.
And then it slowed down so much. And now that you see the surprises coming, you're like, they even set up in the couple issues ago, like, everything has been so great for us lately.
Yeah.
Wow. I imagine them all the characters looking at me, reading and being like, wink.
And I mean, there is a certain feel here that, you know, Kirkman obviously is building towards issue 50 with this. And he's definitely, it feels like he knows that it's gotten a little too easy across the board. And he's like, oh, I got to kill everybody. Just like wipe the slate clean and go for it.
Now, this guy that you like, who you want to win.
The general.
He's the guy who was having weird sex with a zombie that was his daughter or something, wasn't
it? Oh,
it
was precious. All right, we're going to move on. Last Defenders, number one. What'd you guys think about this issue?
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
Really?
Well, in kind of a not supposed to be funny kind of thing. They're like, the last Defenders of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Well, was,
yeah, it was definitely
Last Defenders of New Jersey.
This is the Hero Initiative team for New Jersey.
Yeah, and they have this big, they sit around this table and they have a big D around New Jersey. So I think it's hilarious.
You think that one panel is what it should be.
I think that this is a superhero team and they're like, we got Jersey! We got this! I think that's hilarious.
We need the Arkansas. You know? Yeah.
Did you read anything else besides the New Jersey?
Why? Why would you do that?
Wow.
He got to New Jersey and he was like,
I love it.
Good enough. Good enough for Scotty. Ah,
then he drove down the turnpike like there was no tomorrow.
It's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to take a look at this?
Yeah. I mean, I think Joe Casey's a talented writer.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled with this particular lineup, but I know that he's got a lineup change coming down the line, and I'm more excited for them than I am for Colossus She-Hulk from Blazing Skull.
You're not a big Blazing Skull fan?
Blazing Skull!
I'm just saying, the team he's got coming is awesome.
Well, this is a guy that's like Ghost Rider, but not as interesting.
Who's coming? Blazing Skull.
He's got Paladin. One, two. I mean, this is in previews. I hope I'm not spoiling anything.
No, it's in previews. No,
okay.
Go ahead.
Atlas.
It's going to really tell us.
Yeah, I know.
So Atlas, one, two from
Atlas, as in the Greek god.
Yeah, the Greek
so
god.
It's like working to Hercules and Ares.
Awesome. No, they're just going to have an Atlas so they know how to get out of
here. Draw the deal. Go ahead.
You were saying that you had a problem with the characterization of Nighthawk?
I do have a bit of a. I mean, I think that. We don't really understand who Kyle Richmond is, other than I'm wearing my giant costume.
Is your problem that he's not a blind lawyer?
I don't feel for Kyle Richmond.
Okay.
But it's only the first issue. I mean, I'm going to buy every issue that comes out because I like the team that's coming down the line. But I just feel that, and like I said, I think Joe Casey will totally change my opinion of it come issue two. But I just right now, I just don't feel for Kyle Richmond.
Is there any more people on the team? Because
I know those three.
Okay, all right.
Bantu, Atlas, and Paladin.
My problem with this is it always, every iteration of Defenders always seems like it's just low rent, and they're like, next issue, a totally different group of people.
That's the best part
of
the
Defenders. It's stupid, and they never do anything.
But do they take advantage of the low rent thing?
Rent
stabilization is
control.
Yeah, the thing that I think is kind of interesting about this, actually, is you do have characters like Colossus and She-Hulk on here who have been around the block, so they're not traded like, oops, I don't know what I'm doing. They would talk with weird Russian accents. I read a different version of the book. But they're competent. Russia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're very competent in the book, which I actually kind of appreciated and enjoyed, which felt like a slightly different take than a normal first Defenders book.
I don't know.
It's the last.
Yeah, and what's the last?
What does that mean? Nah, they're gonna die. Yeah. All right, let's move on and talk about Star Wars Rebellion number 12. Justin, you picked this up.
All right. comic book fans don't really like Star Wars comics. Fair?
Yeah.
This is like the nerdiest thing in the world, basically.
Yeah.
So I bought
Star
a couple
Trek.
Issues.
Yeah,
true. Star Trek. Is this above or below Star Trek?
Star Wars. Star Wars is lower than Star Trek. I think.
Yes, it is.
What?
Yes, it is.
It's all the guys standing in their red little leotards talking instead
the
of actually.
You know, with Star Trek, like there's so much of it. You're like, okay, a comic book, I get it. With Star Wars, it's like, yeah, we're still digging out of this fucking Skywalker shit. You know, like here's 10 more kids you had. Let's have stories about them because we're so insane about Star Wars.
You're scaring me. I'm usually the guy who gets red in the face.
Yeah, I'm having a stroke.
Luke Skywalker is Peter Parker with a lightsaber.
Oh! Do you have a
what
writer
you
who's writing your secrets to me?
Bruce Valanches.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. So usually when I talk to someone, oh, you like comics? Yeah, great. And then we can talk about something. If you meet someone who likes Star Wars and Star Trek, it's always an awkward like barrier that you hit. Like, oh, you like comics? Yeah, I'm really into comics. What comics do you read? Star Wars, Star Trek. It's like, oh, I'm not really into that. Oh, you should. What the hell's your problem? And it's like,
well, so the point
is, this is my line. This is my line for me. Is I will say I love Star Wars when I was a kid.
The movie.
Still, yes. Actually, even the comic books. I read the Marvel Star Wars comic books when I was a kid. Now, for me, when I go to comic conventions and I see people dressed as Star Wars characters, I'm like, what are you doing here? This is my convention.
Whoa!
Dress the Hulk or Captain America or something normal, okay?
Yeah, he went up to a Jango Fett and said, get the fuck out of here. At New York Comic Con.
I did.
Over the line.
And he was like, how's your word?
That was good. Hard to hear.
That's right. I did it low because I was embarrassed.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not bad. Like, the story, like, and you know the
it's
characters.
It's drawn well, yeah, yeah. And what's nice is I haven't read any of these comics. I picked this one up and was like, okay, Luke and Leia, I know right where we are. You know, is that true?
Though in this, they're like, it takes place after Empire, before Jedi, I think.
They're okay, still running away from Stormtroopers. I get it.
Well, that's it. What? It's too complicated?
No, that's my problem. It's like, come on, stop, you know, just come up with a new story. Don't be like, well, this is set 5 minutes before this.
Wow.
Oh, man.
When you did that, that's funny. Because sometimes you do that and it's not on your own. And you're doing that to make a nerd point. I'm trying to say...
There was a little commentary on myself.
Yeah. Wow, and nothing sacred. My point is that in this, it's like, we're going to do... Princess Leia is like, that's it, we'll go down with the ship. And you're like, no, we won't. We literally know you won't. So the stakes are like...
Exactly, there's no stakes here.
Yeah. But
there's
know.
Also no stakes.
Wow. Snakes on a Star Trek.
That was my transition reference.
Wow.
Great. And there's also new snakes in Lock and Key number 2.
Yeah!
What you guys want to know is what books there's no snakes in.
Right.
This is no snakes book.
Yeah.
Lock and Key is a series by Stephen King's son, in case you didn't know. Completely original series. What'd you guys think about this?
I was... completely shocked at how popular it is. Like, right off the box. I didn't love the first
right
issue.
Right off the box?
Right out of the box.
Oh, okay.
Sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
I didn't know what you meant. I thought it was a little saying I didn't know.
Anyways, if we could. Number 2, really, I thought was really great, and I could understand, I understand what the hype is about. This is really that good. But the first one, I was like, really, guys? We're going to sell out in this comic?
Well, Stephen King's son, I think. You put Stephen King's name on a comic book. And it turns out
it's not. It's not like it writes.
Yeah, but they do.
It's amazing because his name isn't King. So
it's true.
He just carries that power.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing.
It's. Yeah. I actually thought this book was great. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Cool.
I thought it was very cool, very original. It's a supernatural story, as you might expect from Stephen King's son, but it's very original. What?
That's weird. Like, you expect that the son of Stephen King is going to write supernatural stories?
My father's an architect. I do comic books about architects.
A super architect. I think your dad is the main character.
He's like, oh, build that? That's not what architects do, actually. That's the funnier part.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to pick this up?
No, but I love the cover.
I actually was reading the was it CBG
yes.
thing about it, and I really actually was interested in it. Just I hate to say it because they said, well, this is Stephen King's son, but it was actually kind of interesting, the premise and everything. But
it's very cool. It's basically it's a little kid moves to a new house his father used to live in. His father has recently died under mysterious circumstances. He finds a door that turns him into a ghost.
Yeah. Cool.
But it's creepy because it's like when he goes to turn into a ghost. His, like, mangled body lays at the doorway, and he's, like, flying around.
Yeah, who's watching these kids?
Yeah. It's like, why doesn't the mom, like, hey, where are you? And then, oh, my God! You know? Yeah.
Next issue.
I hope so.
All right, so pick that up, and that's it for the staff!
Yeah!
All right, our next section is my favorite section, because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bound!
Booth
Bound! Finally, what are your expectations for Secret Invasion?
What about you guys? Let's start with you guys. Do you have any expectations, low expectations? For those of you who don't know, Secret Invasion is the big crossover coming from Marvel starting April 2nd.
The Kree thing? I mean, the scroll
thing. Yeah. Well, yeah, we can talk about the Kree thing, but they don't know about it yet.
Right.
What?
You know, my favorite thing with Skrulls was the Skrull Kill Crew. So I don't know if they're going to pull those characters back.
Man, that would be great, huh?
I haven't really, unfortunately, been following the Secret Invasion news.
I
Is your life on the line? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
interrogation
was actually in the back.
I'm kind of hoping that Tony Stark is going to be a squirrel and be like, "Hey, sorry I was such a douchebag for so long. We can take back this whole, you know, everything that happened, and we'll get back to just being normal superheroes."
So it was a Skrull that made the deal with Mephisto to change Peter Parker's life. So it's Skrull Peter Parker, not really Peter Parker.
That would make so much more sense.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be a big delete button.
That's what I hope.
What if Mephisto is also a Skrull? And what if it all happened on a stage at a Skrull playhouse? What if it's all in a comic book? It's not actually real.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
There is some advanced word on the title that's starting to leak out a little bit.
Yeah,
Patton Oswalt just posted a thing on his blog. He's friends with Bendis. He read the first three issues. He said it's awesome. He had Peter David on the show a couple of weeks ago. He said that the first issue is great.
He said, like, fucking awesome. He swore by that.
Yeah, something like
sorry.
That.
He said it's going to be so amazing the internet is going to crash.
Yeah, I
am holding, I'm reserving my thoughts.
Yeah.
Only I hope that it doesn't drastically affect my favorite Marvel title, which is Avengers The Initiative.
Yeah, it's been really great.
Well, what I like about it...
It is.
I know it is, but I hope it doesn't drastically affect my favorite Marvel title.
Do you think they'll do away with the Initiative after this? Is that sort of the point of this?
No, why?
I don't know.
I would
I'm just making bold statements for no reason.
Do you think the pile's going to catch on fire? Maybe. I don't know. Anything can happen. What I like about
do
it
you
is...
Do think Lincoln had teeth on the top?
I've already said I firmly believe in
it. All right, great.
This is the most true thing that's been said on that. I like this. It's great because it's building so much anticipation. Like, everyone is... I think it's a great event because it's exciting. What the possibilities could be.
I concur. Let's get the next question.
Sure. Okay, when did you realize that you weren't... Oh, here we go. When did you
just start
reading?
Up a question?
Yeah.
When did you realize you weren't going to stop buying / reading comics?
That's been a tough thing where, like, I would spend way too much money on comics and I'd be like, okay, from now on, you can only spend this much. And then, like, you get to the store and you're like, oh, I want this. Oh.
A little behind the curtain.
What age is that?
Straight up, Pete spends $100 in comics a week.
Oh.
And we get a 25% discount at Midtown. So he spends.
And we get preview copies as well. So Pete goes out, he buys the copies that we've already read in advance, as well as, but usually like the sketch variants of them.
This is an intervention, so we need to not do this. You have a wedding, a child on the way.
I don't have a child.
Oh shit, spoiler. Oh, sorry, no, I'm not a spoiler.
Have you been told that?
She talked to me about it, I don't know.
It's either the kid or the comics, and the kid's going to go.
He did go. Whoa, that's fucked up.
you choose the kid if it was a sketch variant.
Before that joke was only funny to us.
That was awesome.
Hey, remember when you did that? That was awesome.
That just happened.
Let's live in this world.
Yeah.
What about you guys? When did you realize you were never going to stop buying or reading comics?
Well, I'm a weird comic book reader.
tell us about
comic books are weird.
You pulled out the stack of comics. I'm sitting here going, well, I don't know all of them. But I pick up books. And I kind of review them. I read them. I pick up an issue here and there, but I never follow full stories because, like, it used to be I didn't have a comic book store near me that I could get to on a regular basis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would get there and I would go, oh, I'll pick up this, and I'd leave with, like, you know, 20, 30 books, read them all, and then not get back to the store for another month or so because I was up, you know, in the Great White North. And so, like, the difference is, like, you know, so I've fallen out of the regular following any title, so I kind of know all these different things, but what I realized I wasn't going to stop reading them was simply because I'd pick one up, and I'd go, wow, that's right, I love these things for this particular issue. You kind of give up for a little bit, and then you go, oh, wait, that one's awesome. Like Duncan Fragredo on Hellboy. maybe go, wow, okay, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I'm going to just, you know, take it home and put it on my shelf and look at it and, you know, kind of, you know, it was like the first time, it was like literally like the first time in like 3 years that I actually was like, wow, I have to keep this and save this and take care of it, you know. So it's, yeah, it was like,
they're like children.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like, the first time in a long time. Whereas, you know, when I was a kid, there was always that one book you picked up a week or whatever, and you're just like, oh, it's precious. But this was like, wow, okay. So it like reinvigorated, you know, that kind of feeling of, you know, wanting to keep buying these things, you know. How about you?
Yeah, I don't really, I'm actually really, really, I've recently parsed down my comic collection. Rather dramatically. I read probably 4 titles a month on a regular basis.
Traitor!
No. But, I'm sorry, I only buy 4 titles a month. I get a lot of comps, so I read a lot of those. And
no one ever wants to hear that.
Yeah. preview copies come to our house, and, you know, big boxes of comics come to our house.
Right.
And, no, but I'm just saying that it's...
We're good. Keep talking.
But I just... you know, there's certain titles that I support with my dollars, but, you know, I really think that it's... I just think that after a while, your collection gets so unwieldy that you just sort of need to, at some point... Yeah, what?
Especially living here.
Oh, especially living in New York. Yeah. When your apartment gets smaller and smaller as you get older and older.
It's like a bed of comic boxes.
Yeah.
Where am I going to sleep?
Or a bed made of comic boxes.
Ooh.
I know.
Furniture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm about to move in with my girlfriend next month or so, and she's making some noise like, time to do something.
Whoa.
So you're not moving in.
Yeah. Right, guys?
Yeah. All right, that's it for audience questions.
All right, our next section is a little section we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right, we have a little something special to show you guys today, so I will just sit back and let you enjoy it.
Do we need to pull this one?
No. You probably need to pull that first one.
I love you.
I've got a problem. There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
To be frank,
it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Bruce, trust me when I tell you I've heard them all.
Not this one.
We've never seen anything even close to your level of exposure. That you survive an event like that, it's beyond my comprehension.
I don't want to control it. I want to get rid of it.
As far as I'm concerned, that man's whole body is property of the U.S. Army.
They want it as a weapon. If we let it go, we will never get it back.
There's only one thing you can find out, it's in me.
Maybe if I can control it,
I can use it.
Thank you.
10.
You want to trade your chair?
No.
I mean, you already know him. Like, you're Edward Norton, not Bruce Banner.
Well, it's just about Robert Downey.
Yeah.
It makes it, well, I don't like Robert Downey, so it fits that he plays Iron Man.
A couple little fun bits for you guys from the trailer, in case you don't already know these. Leonard Sampson is the psychiatrist in the beginning, that being Doc Sampson. The guy who's explaining, we've never seen cellular growth, whatever, is Samuel Stearns, later the leader. And also that last scene you saw, the fight between the Abomination and the Hulk, that is the last scene in the movie. However, that fight lasts for 26 minutes.
Oh, yeah!
So there's that going
on. Does the
on.
Apollo Theater survive?
No, unfortunately, but it's because of the open mic then.
Sheldon's on fire tonight! You are on fire, sir!
Yes, are you looking forward to this movie?
I have to admit, I turned to him and I said, why do they always have to look like puppets? Because I was watching that final scene, I'm like, they look like big puppets.
Apparently
like...
the FX are not finished yet.
Oh, okay.
So they are working on it, but I do agree.
I mean, you know,
well-timed cough.
It's like you want it to look so real, and you're like, yeah. Looks like big fluffy puppets.
Well, I that criticism, I'm always like, well, but come on. Like, maybe it'll be real someday, but this is what we got right now. I mean, it's not a cartoon.
Oh, sure. But sometimes, you know, you saw the original Hulk movie, you know, I saw the original Hulk movie on an airplane. But I saw that, and I was like, wow, you know, I kind of miss the one from the 70s with, you know, Lou Ferrigno and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They are doing a couple of shout-outs to that, apparently. Like, you saw the eyeballs and sort of looking up with the green eyes, things
true.
Like that. So,
they have Mr. McGee chasing him around.
What?
They have Mr. McGee chasing him around.
Probably.
Yeah. And he's going to be real mopey all the time.
Cool. All right, that's it for the Week in Geek.
I said, just he's going to be mopey all the time, just like Peter Parker.
You guys should be
seriously, that's it for the Week in Geek. All right, let's move on with our next section, which is trivia. For that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePay.
I hate Justin.
Okay, so for this, we give back to you, the lovely audience. We give you a chance to win 25 free dollars in credits to Midtown Comics. So who would like, it's a gift card, okay? Goddamn, I don't
know. You can tell it's an arcade.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We give you tokens.
You like Skimo?
Finish the thought yourselves.
Okay, so who would like a chance to win 25 free dollars? Yes, you, sir. Come on down. What's your name?
Arnold.
Arnold?
Yes.
Audience? Arnold.
Yes.
All right.
Arnold.
Not that kind of meeting. So, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little trivia on online comics for no particular reason. And you have three questions, and for each question you'll have three answers to choose from. Pick the right one, and the gift card will be yours. Put that there for now. Here we go. Question number one. One of the first online comics was in 1986. Was it A, The Fox, B, Where Buffalo Roam, or C, The Oregon Trail? So it's either A, The Fox, B, Where Buffalo Roam, and Oregon Trail is just one of my favorite games from 1986. I kept shooting more deer than I needed, but it was awesome. All right, so go ahead. What would be your guess?
A the Fox!
Genius. Here we go. Zuda Comics was created by A, Marvel Comics, B, DC Comics.
Wow.
Or C, Zoodisses, God of Internetualism.
C.
I'll go with A.
Or you could go with B, which is the correct answer. B is correct! No! 2 for 2. You're 2 for 2. Here we go. Last one. Which of these was not part of the initial Zuda Comics lineup? Was it A, The Enders, B, Black Swan, or C,
Sideburns the Musical.
It's one of our passion projects.
All right, I don't even remember the question.
just say the letter C. C is correct! Big winner! Enjoy!
All right, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out? Pete?
Well, Hackslash, of course, I'm a big fan of. So I'm going to go with that one.
Cool. Nice. Fear Agent, very excited about. One thing that shows that DC, I'm like, DC, what are you doing? They're starting this 12-issue series of Tangent Superman. I'm like, come on. Wow, who's going to buy that? no one.
Variant.
Pew!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Ultimates 3, number 1, Black and White Gatefold Variant. I'm kidding. I'm actually Captain America is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything, but the last page is crazy. So pick it up.
It's not that crazy, but...
Yeah,
it's a heck of a reveal.
It really follows story plot lines. That was as big as saying it's crazy, right?
Yeah. It is a panel in a comic book. Go ahead. Wow.
I actually have to say, I kind of guilty pleasure is the Incredible Hercules.
I have to come out.
One of my good friends, Fred Valenti, is one of the writers. But aside that, that's actually why I picked it up. And then I was like, wow, the two writers, Greg and he, it's just, the book is just...
It's a great book.
It's fantastic, the whole relationship between Ares and Hercules and then the Avengers with, in relationship to that. It's just really, it's a nice... Yeah.
I was really impressed with that because when I first picked it up, I was like... And then the writing was so well done.
And the artwork's solid, too.
Yeah, because
something that's tying into Secret Invasion. This is coming up in it. But Herc puts together in the title a God Squad to go up against the Skrull God in the book.
Awesome.
Which is...
God Squad!
Sounds kind of hilarious. I don't know. Great title.
I also really love Captain America. I think it's a fantastic title. But tomorrow I'm going to probably be picking up The Flash, and Captain Marvel comes out.
Yeah, the Captain Marvel series.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And Incredible Hercules.
Cool.
I think you were saying that you didn't like it. You were saying that you do like it.
Is this
awkward. So why don't you guys, hi, Moon... New pages came out today. New pages are coming out every week and a half.
Fortnightly.
Every 2 weeks.
Excellent.
At sundown on Tuesdays.
Yeah. That's
sundown.
And you can check it out at Zuda.com.
What's nice about Zuda is it's free. You can go and vote. You don't have to pay anything.
You can go and read. And you can write nice things to people.
It's fantastic.
It's fan building a community, which is really cool.
Yeah,
it's great. Definitely check it out. Also check out, next week on the show, we are having Evan Dorkin, Chris Duffy, and Dave Roman.
Woo!
So it should be a very cool show. Also, you can check us out now 3 times a week on PulpSecret.com, PulpSecret.com, where we do a comic review show like this. All right. A couple of people I want to thank for being on the show. I want to thank Steve for being on the show! Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m., please tell your friends, good night!
Good night! Good night.
Justin sucks.
Comic Book Club is recorded in front of a live audience every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. To find out more info or to listen to additional episodes, go to popcultureshock.com/cbclub. No!